We all know the story. Pilgrims from England seeking religious freedom for themselves and for their children landed on the shores of Massachusetts in 1620. The first year in the New World was dreadfully difficult, with starvation, death, devastating the new community. But the summer had seen a good harvest, so the governor proclaimed a feast to give thanks to God for all of God's generosity. Friendly Indians were invited to the feast, which featured turkey, venison, squash, corn. People from Maine insist that lobster was also served. Parenthetically, scholars have established that there were earlier local celebrations of Thanksgiving in the New World. Plymouth Plantation was not actually the location of the very first Thanksgiving. In particular, celebrations have been documented in Florida and Virginia. But this is the popular story, and the American history textbooks were written in Massachusetts. Following that first Thanksgiving, local governors in the colonies proclaimed Thanksgiving celebrations from time to time. The first national day of Thanksgiving was called by the Continental Congress in 1777. President George Washington proclaimed the first national day of Thanksgiving in the new United States of America in 1789. The newly formed Protestant Episcopal Church in the United States of America provided for the celebration of Thanksgiving Day in the newly approved Book of Common Prayer, the first denomination in this new United States to so provide. Subsequent presidents after Washington declared national days of Thanksgiving from time to time, but it was not an annual event. President Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday of November, 1863, to be a national day of Thanksgiving 3 months after the Battle of Gettysburg. Since that time, Thanksgiving Day has been an annual American celebration. Thanksgiving Day is now woven into the very fabric of our nation and our culture. If you happen to grow up in a Republican household, during the Thanksgiving dinner, you might have heard every year how during the Great Depression, President Roosevelt messed with the sacred by changing Thanksgiving from the last Thursday to the third Thursday of the month as an economic stimulus program to improve Christmas sales. In 1941, Congress established Thanksgiving as a national holiday to be celebrated on the fourth Thursday of November. Now let me tell you another story. Today's closing hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God," is one of the most loved hymns in our hymnal, almost without exception, sung on Thanksgiving Day. You can have a Thanksgiving Day church service without "Now Thank We All Our God," but it just wouldn't feel right. And that hymn has its own story. The 30 Years' War ravaged across Germany from 1618 to 1648. And during that time, the population of Germany shrank from approximately 16 million people to about 6 million people due to the war and subsequent disease and starvation. Martin Rinkhart was a pastor of a Lutheran church in Eilenburg, Germany. In 1637, the city was under siege, and that year he buried 4,480 people, including his beloved wife. All of the pastors in the city died except for Martin. And at the end of that year, the siege was lifted, and the city held a religious service, and Martin Rinkhart wrote, "Now Thank We All Our God." It is the ability to give thanks to God in the midst of adversity that marks true gratitude and faith. When Martin Rinkhart wrote, "Guide us when perplexed," he was not reflecting on minor inconveniences. In the midst of overwhelming adversity, he could give most profound thanks. Now, almost 400 years later, in the 21st century, Martin Rinkhart can inspire us. There is anxiety in the air, focusing on the seemingly never-ending wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and in today's news in Bombay, India. And on an economy that is, at best, shall we say, struggling, anxiety is brewed in fear and eats at us spiritually, nibbles away at our faith. An antidote to anxiety, an antidote to fear, is to nurture a thankful heart by the practice of generosity and abundance, not scarcity. To be anxious, fearful, and not generous is about scarcity. It becomes man's economy, not God's. All that we all have, all that we are, comes from God. If God gives to us so generously, how can we do less than to be generous ourselves? To keep your heart oriented toward God and to defeat the forces of anxiety and despair and fear, I recommend two simple spiritual disciplines. First, when you wake up in the middle of the night and the first thing in the morning, or when you say your daily prayers, start by thanking God for 5 or 10 gifts. Begin by thanking God for simply being alive, life itself being the first gift you receive from God. Always begin by thanking God every day. And second, give away money generously from the first fruits of your labor. If you give from what you can afford or what is left over, you will never be generous. Generous giving builds self-confidence and nourishes your generous neighbor. Always parenthetically remembering that miserly and miserable come from the same root. By thanking God and being generous, you keep your heart oriented towards God, the source of all gifts. When you gather with your family and friends today for your Thanksgiving feast, begin by giving thanks to God for all of God's generosity, no matter how difficult the year has been. Simply give thanks. Then, have a great feast with turkey and stuffing and corn and pumpkin pie and cranberries and all the rest. Second helpings without reservation. Offer toasts to the chefs and to all the family and friends, present and absent. Never forgetting that God loves you more than you can ask or begin to imagine.